Peace and blessings. Welcome to another episode of Maintain Your Islamic Identity and Still Be a Boss Muslimapreneur. I'm your host, Halima de Oliveira of BUNHD, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Shakira Abdul Razak. Women often appear to suffer from the misconception that to be successful in business or accepted in society, they have to diminish or denounce their faith or beliefs. As a business coach, I have encountered women cross-culturally who face internal conflict regarding their religious identity, maintaining their family roles, and being their most authentic selves. I developed this podcast to help guide them back to reclaiming their faith, better define their Islamic roles so that they can own their identity, live their absolute best life, and be a powerhouse in business. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Shakira. How are you?
Walaikum salam. I'm great. How are you?
I am fantastic, alhamdulillah. So I'm so excited to have you on the podcast and for the listeners to just know a little bit more about you and what it is that you do. And I chose the topic specifically for you, and it just goes in line with your business as well as what you do. And the name of the topic for today is Love Beyond Love in Today's Changing World. And I think it's really important for us as Muslimas to talk about this topic specifically. But before we get into that, would you please tell us a little bit more about you and your business?
Yes. So the name of my business is Love Beyond Love. It was developed in the direct response of premarital sex occurring among Muslim youth. So me personally, aside from the research and everything, I was personally touched by this, you know, the issue of premarital sex. I was born and raised Muslim, but I fell in love in high school. Like, I love this boy. I would do anything and everything for him. And, you know, before I knew it, just 2 months after my high school graduation, I found out I was pregnant. And going through that life-changing event and raising my child as a single mother, going to work, going to school full-time and all of that, and kind of finding myself way back to Islam, alhamdulillah, going through all of that, I realized that this was an issue, especially with it happening to so many other Muslim girls that I grew up with, and then reaching out to me for advice and finally coming across different research that this was a serious issue. I knew I needed to address it.
Well, I thank you so much. So, you know, a lot of what we do on this podcast and just with the BUNHD platform in general is that we look to collaborate with other women that are doing things that are closely related to what we are doing. So with the whole Not Without My Hijab campaign, it's all about helping girls and young women reclaim their faith and come back to owning their Islamic identity. And like, it's like you fell in our lap, you know, and I'm so grateful to not only have you on the podcast, but to also have you as a partner moving forward and going, you know, through with the young girls and helping them to just see a different way to be able to express themselves and to come into adolescence and come into their own. So I'm so grateful that you decided to answer your calling and that you decided to, you know, to answer your passion. With being a socialpreneur, and as a socialpreneur myself, I know some of the things that you face, but I would rather not speak for you and let you speak for yourself. So what are some of the difficulties that you face in not only your business, so in Love Beyond Love, but, you know, what are some of the difficulties that you face in your 9-to-5? So you didn't get that Dr. Shakira out of nowhere. So tell us a little bit more about the doctor piece on your name, and also talk about some of the difficulties that you face in both your full-time job and also in your business, and how have you maintained your Islamic identity?
Okay, so in my 9-to-5 job, I function as a primary care provider in Delaware. And so I have my degree as a doctor of nursing practice. So basically that's the highest level of a clinical degree as a nurse. And I function as a family nurse practitioner, which is, like I said, a primary care provider. So I'm the only African American in my practice, number one. And then number two, I'm Muslim. A lot of my patients really appreciate me, especially my African American patients and Muslim patients. Actually, I'm not the only Muslim. I'm the only Muslim that covers. I just found out there's also another Muslim doctor there, but She hasn't
embraced that side.
No.
Well, with the both of us, you know, something else we have in common is we both struggled with, you know, covering at some point and just owning that Islamic identity. And so that's why us being out in the forefront covered is so important, because it helps us to become the face, and it helps us to help those that are not necessarily owning that part of their faith to say, you know what, if she can do it and she's doing all of these amazing things, I can too. So, you know, you may have been placed there to help her to own that piece of her religious identity.
Yes, inshallah. Challenges, things like when it's time to pray, making sure that they understand that even though, you know, I'm busy, I have patients, and patients are, you know, always looking for me. I'm the nurses, you know, everyone is always looking for me to, you know, give orders and tell them what to do and that type of thing. So when it's time to pray, I had to establish that I have to pray at this time and that time, and you may not see me for 10 minutes. Like, don't panic, I'll be back, but I need this time to pray to my Lord, please my Lord. And they thought that was, you know, really powerful. They never, you know, had that issue before with, you know, with anyone else in the past. And it was not an issue, but they had never had that concern before with any other person in the practice. So, so that was like the main thing that I really had to establish with everything.
Well, you know, I'm glad that you bring that up, because what we get is a lot of the podcast listeners are full-time employees and maybe looking to transition over into either part-time entrepreneurship or full-time entrepreneurship. And some of them are facing some of the same issues that you are. And I really want to bring up this point and hone in on this, is that you are your own best advocate. And who better to talk about Islam or the religion that you subscribe to than you? And if prayer is at the, you know, it's one of the fundamentals, which it is, of Islam, and you are adhering to the basics and the fundamentals of your religion, then there should be a place and a time established for prayer. And the cool thing is like, prayer is like 5 minutes. It takes you 5 minutes to get your prayer on, and then you're back to work. So it's not something, it's not an excuse, and it's not something that will take you away from being the amazing doctor of nursing that you are. So, or you know, and for the listeners out there, for whatever job you have, you will still be that amazing Wonder Woman at your job. You just took a little time to pray. So,
and I think
with that, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. And I look forward to my, like, I call them my sellout breaks, because
yes,
I feel like I get so, you know, it's really, it's a high stress. I love my job, but it is very, not stressful. I don't want to say stressful, but it's very challenging. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, especially when I'm, you know, tackling all these different complex patients or complex cases, I really look forward to my salat breaks to kind of like really get myself together before I go back out there.
You know what? We need to coin that one, a salat break. Instead of a smoke break, we got the salat break. Yes. And for those of you that, you know, because a lot of our listeners are not Muslim, and so they tune in, one, to get some of the inspiration and information that we have, but they also come on to be educated as well. So for those of you that don't know, salat simply means to prayer. So it means to pray. So that is so cool. So instead of a smoke break, we are taking salat breaks. Let me tell you something, I'm with it. So, you know, I'm glad you talked to us about your full time. Now talk to us about your passion and your passion work as well, because I think, you know, when I first met you, to first find out that you are a doctor of nursing, and then to find out what you're doing, what your social platform is about, and what your cause is, I was like, this girl is amazing. And so, you know, Love Beyond Love, tell us a little bit more about Love Beyond Love and what is the significance of it.
So, like I said earlier, Love Beyond Love is really to help empower you to delay sex until marriage. And I feel like the environment that we live in, they're, you know, they're challenged with so much. Everything is coming at them all at once in regards to, you know, what they put on TV and the music that they listen to. And then when they go to school, the sex education that they have really focuses more on just the physical consequences. Like, the physical consequences are real, but sex is just not physical. It's so much more deeper than that.
Wow.
And also doesn't incorporate their Islamic beliefs and values. Mm. So, and then on top of that, their parents, you know, Muslim parents, sex is really taboo for, I think, for everybody, but specifically in Islam, you know, parents don't want to talk about it. The imams don't want to talk about it. So Muslim youth are kind of like left out to kind of fend for themselves and just kind of learn about sex from their friends and social media and the media, which doesn't really correlate to them as a person, you know, and correlate with their Islamic identity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm in total agreement there. And, you know, my sisters and I, we were talking just a few days ago, we were talking about our sex education growing up. Don't get me wrong. My mother was a great parent. You know, she instilled in us a lot of morality and just values. And she was an amazing parent. But we did not have that birds and the bees conversation. Like, you know what I mean? When we were like, when it was really important for us to have. And when I was growing up, so I'm in my 40s, or, you know, just in my 40s. And for me, you know, the conversation back then, we probably didn't need the conversation until we were like 16 or 17. Mm-hmm. These kids now, it's like 10. Yes. 9, 10, they need the beginnings of the birds and the bees conversation. So, and we didn't get it. So I can only imagine what these kids need right now. I'm, you know, they're two generations, maybe even three behind me. And, you know, they just need so much more than even my generation needed. So, I think it's important that you know, parents are having this conversation. And the, you know, I think you can best say this. This was not a question that, you know, I plan to ask, but can you give us like two or three tips, or give any of the parents listening two or three tips on how they can start the sex conversation? And I do want to read this ayat of the week before you answer that, because I believe this will correlate, because a lot of what we look for as Muslim parents is we look for how can we incorporate the Quran into our lives. And, you know, of course, you know, our lives are surrounded by the Quran. So if the first thing that they probably ask when they go to a Love Beyond Love workshop or presentation is wait a minute, where's the Islamic, mm-hmm. you know, conversation? When is that going to happen? And so I do want to bring in this ayat, and then I want to have you answer that, you know, just three pointers that parents can take away. And even if we have some younger listeners, you know, some of the things that they can learn. So the ayat of the week is from Surah Ahzab, which is the 33rd surah in the Quran. And it's the 34th through the 35th ayats of that surah. For Muslim men and women, for believing men and women, for devout men and women, for true men and women, for men and women who are patient and constant, for men and women who humble themselves, for men and women who give in charity, for men and women who fast and deny themselves, for men and women who guard their chastity, and for men and women who engage much in Allah's praise for them, as Allah prepared forgiveness and great reward. So if you could just go ahead, Dr. Shakira, and answer that question, I would so appreciate it. And just give us three tips on how we can start that conversation.
Okay, so the first thing is to understand that this is a problem. I've come across so many parents who are kind of in denial and don't believe that this, like, it's kind of like not my child type of thing.
I've seen it. I've seen it firsthand. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I've seen it firsthand with no, not my child. And literally the child goes around the corner and it looks like a totally different child than the one you saw on the other corner. So go ahead. I'm sure you see it more than I do.
So yeah, see, cause I was one of them. Like I was like, I was around them. And then as soon as my high school was like right around the corner from my school. So as soon as I turned that corner, I was a totally different person. They had no idea at all. So anyway, my key points are: to number one, for parents to reflect on, you know, our Islamic beliefs and values, and what specifically what do they want to instill in their children. So I usually do I do parent workshops, and I usually start off with parents doing an exercise with like the person they're sitting next to, and really take a moment to reflect on their of sex education that they received from their parents, if any, and if they didn't receive it, because, you know, they were living at a different time, what they wish their parent would have had told them that they learned, you know, growing up, that they wish they would have known, like they wish their parents would have known. So they can incorporate that into their education that they instill in their children. The next one is to take advantage of teachable moments. So so much sexual content everywhere. Like you can turn on TV and all of a sudden a commercial for condoms comes on. Like, so what you do, you don't just want to ignore it. You don't just want to ignore it. Or let's say like your child, for example, I have an 8-year-old and he was interested, like curious about his body. So he was making jokes about it class. So instead of just, you know, really recommending him and kind of just making him feel bad about himself, it's important for you to take advantage of that teachable moment and educate your child about their bodies and, you know, what, you know, for right now, since he's only 8, the main thing he needs to know is his private parts to use the bathroom.
Yes.
You know, and kind of like you kind of have to tailor it to their maturity level and also their age level. But you definitely want to take advantage of those moments to use them as a chance to be able to instill in your child, you know, what we believe as Muslims and why. That is a big piece when I do my youth workshops. They're like, I know that, you know, Allah doesn't want us to have sex before marriage, and but I don't want to, you know, I don't understand why. Like, everyone else is doing it. They don't see, like, the big picture. We do role plays and different things like that to kind of walk them through different scenarios and how, you know, a girl or a guy who's going in and out of a relationship over and over again and what that does to them, you know, emotionally and psychologically. And then when they do get married one day, how that affects, you know, the marriage. And then
I don't know if I'm going to go too deep here, but I remember having this conversation and I forget who I was speaking to. And we were just talking about, you know, when you're intimate with someone, that you're literally taking that person as a woman, as a girl, you're literally taking that person and their being into your person and into your being. And that's not easy. I'm sure, you know, you said you love this boy. I'm sure it was very difficult that after you guys broke up, I'm sure it was very difficult for you to kind of get him out of your system. So that's not just the physical piece of it. You know, it's two souls coming together as one, essentially. And so, you know, if you're promiscuous, or if, you know, you know, there's more than one, you know, person, you're literally taking a soul, you know, each time that, you know, if a different person, you're taking that person's soul into you. You know, what is it leaving behind, though? You know, and so, you know, that's part of the conversation, too. So, you know, some of the kids that you come across and I, of course, come across. So I believe that what you do and what I do go hand in hand. So I'm sure the first thing that happened was the hijab came off and then everything else came after that, because that's how it was for me. And so the hijab came off. I was still, you know, chaste. You know, I wasn't, you know, doing anything. And then lo and behold, a year and a half later, you know, bam. You know, so, you know, I can only imagine what it's, you know, how accelerated it is now. So what, you know, I think, you know, it's important to not be blind. You know, you don't want to be accusatory, but at the same time, you don't want to be blind to that. Hey, this could possibly be happening, and just opening up that conversation. So one of the things that I love about what you're doing is, you know, exactly where to find the youth that you are looking to touch. So can you just tell us how to find you, first of all? And then also, you have a program that you have out for young people, no parents allowed. I'm so going to say that again. You parents, get out of here. No parents allowed. You have a program that you do every Tuesday on your IG channel. So tell us a little bit more about that, and also the other avenues and ways that parents and educators and heads of, you know, program coordinators can find you.
Okay, so we have a website. It's www.lovebeyondlove.com. And then we also are on pretty much every social media platform, from Facebook to LinkedIn and Instagram. So our Instagram page is really primarily focused and geared towards the youth. So I do an IG live, an Instagram live every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. And you'd have the opportunity to send me anonymous scenario questions. through this, through an account called Lipsy. So it's kind of just a link on my Instagram page. So you are able to do that. And then I address them all privately, but I address the best one on live that I feel like other youth would have a similar scenario or a similar question.
That's amazing. And the name of this is Lipsy, LIPSI. And the name of your program is Love Beyond Love. And that's the name of your IG page. And you do this every Tuesday at 9. So every parent that's listening, I don't care how old your child is, you should be checking out this page, first of all, for yourself. And then you should be encouraging your Muslim child to tap into it as well. And I know we have some listeners that are non-Muslim, and you can tap into this page as well. Just know that she geared this towards Muslims because there's an epidemic going through the community of, children, just, the promiscuity, et cetera, and just not owning their Islamic identity and all of it. So, there's just some things that we just don't do as Muslims, our goal is to keep them, from experiencing things prematurely. There's a reason why marriage comes at XYZ age. There's a reason why you go to high school when you go to high school. There's a reason why you go to college when you go to college. There's a reason why you get a car when you get a car. It's everything is in divine order. Mm-hmm. And when you don't follow that divine order, then you miss out on some lessons that you may have learned that may have made you better adept to whatever that situation is. So, I so appreciate you, Dr. Shakira, for that. Now, for you with, I want to drive this point home because I think it's really important. How did you yourself overcome? Like, how did you go from being, a promiscuous teen to being a doctor of nursing? Like, we've got to know this story. We just have to.
One thing about me, even when I was out there doing my thing, I never let go of school. Like, I knew like that was my fallback thing. So I let go like everything else. And I was like, I'm not going to stop getting A's. So, like, that was so I don't care how many different guys I was messing with. Like, I went to class, I did my work. But as far as me coming back to Islam, it's kind of crazy story, but Ramadan is really special. It's really special to me, especially. So one Ramadan, I was going to pick up my son from daycare, and he was maybe like 2 at the time. And one of the caregivers, she wasn't even Muslim, and she just looked at me one day, and she was just like, Shakira, like, it's Ramadan. Like, you're not going to cover, you're not going to fast. Like, it's bad enough I was going to pick him up looking crazy, like half naked.
I hear you.
Like, come on, Shakira. Like, it's Ramadan. Like, come on. Like, you should know better.
You're not even going to pretend it's Ramadan.
Just for Ramadan. So I was like, you know what? Right. So I started off really slow. Like, I started just wearing, like, longer pants or a short sleeve shirt versus, like, a sleeveless shirt and then throwing on a sweater. And then after maybe another week, a week went by, I started wearing my hair in a bun. But subhanAllah, by the end of Ramadan, I was fully covered.
And I was mashallah.
Yeah, I was comfortable in everything. And my parents were just like, they were asking my brother, like, what's going on, Shakira? Like, is she? And he used to tell me, like, mommy, daddy, I'm really proud of you. And I was like, really? Aww. And I didn't just see, like, see that it was a big deal. But I'm really grateful for that experience. But yes. I'm just grateful that Allah guided me, because I don't know, like, I know other Muslims who were kind of on the same path as me who are still kind of on that path. They haven't come back yet. Mm-hmm. They kind of look at me like I'm crazy for, wanting to change. So I just think that, I'm just grateful that Allah was able to change my heart and guide me. Back.
Well, I'm glad too, because I would not have met you had that not been the case, and we would not have met each other. Did we not choose Islam, we would not have met each other, because both of our platforms came together because of Islam. So I'm grateful to Allah as well. So you guys know my story. Like, I cry at the drop of a hat when I tell my story, because, it didn't have to be that way. I did not have to receive Allah's guidance to come back. He could have just left me where I was. And, while monetarily speaking, I was not struggling, but for me, spiritually and emotionally, I was struggling. And I was struggling in every other way except financially. Like, I could buy, you know, essentially you would think that you could buy your happiness, but you can't. And so I'm grateful for, you know, where Allah has me now. So, and I thank you for being so transparent. I really, really want to let you know that your transparency is what will bring success in your business and bring success in your platform. And my dua, my prayer for you is that you have success beyond your imagination and that Allah grant you tawfiq, which means success in this life and in the next. Ameen. And my final question for my sister here is, what does it mean to be you in HD? So HD is high definition. When you are your greatest, most authentic self, who are you, and just what does that mean?
And that's a really like inspire. So I mostly inspire girls, but I don't want anyone to know. I want everyone to know that Love Beyond Love is not only for girls, it's for guys too. Mm-hmm. So I see myself inspiring youth to just love their true selves and love their identity more than what the society is trying to call them to, and understand that they're not like everybody else. Like, they're special, they're unique, and really empowering them and helping them understand that and see that for themselves makes a big difference to me.
I love it.
So when I am my greatest, most authentic self, I see myself walking on stage in my red bottoms and my long abaya, any color hijab, but my favorite is my cheetah hijab. And just going to really impact the world and help youth all around the world understand that sex and weight, and understand how important it is for them to love themselves, love their Lord, and love Allah more than this unhealthy love that the media portrays, and really do that all over the world, whether it means like really furthering my education and my knowledge about this topic so that I can really impact the world.
That is beautiful. Thank you so much. So thank you, Dr. Shakira, for taking the time out of your busy day. I know you have your cape on and you're saving the world in some type of way. So I'm going to let you get back to that. So I'm going to take us on out of here with our outro and then our quote of the week. Thank you so much, Dr. Shakira.
You're welcome. Thanks.
This has been another spectacular episode of Maintain Your Islamic Identity and Still Be a Boss Muslimapreneur. It is our hope here at BUNHD that after each podcast, you will be empowered to have a deeper connection in your spirituality, personal, and business relationships. As women of faith, we have a responsibility to learn our religion, apply it to our daily lives, and to make a positive contribution in our local and global community. My inspirational quote of the week is by Shannon L. Alder. Chasing a person doesn't give you value or build values in you. You earn your value by chasing morality and practicing dignity. Thank you so much and have an absolutely amazing week. Assalamu alaikum.